Hello and welcome to today's episode. My name is Ian Wills. I'm president of Coastal Drone Co., Canada's original and most successful online drone training provider. We're here to help you get certified, grow your skills, and find opportunities as a professional drone pilot. You can find out more from visiting us on the web at coastaldrone.co. Good morning. It is Wednesday, June 14th, and this is Coastal Community. This is going to be our last Coastal Community on Wednesday at 10 o'clock Pacific. Next week, we'll be moving to Wednesday afternoon at a yet-to-be-exactly-determined time. So we will have it on the community, but based on our overwhelming survey results, the majority of our audience is either directly West Coast or directly East Coast. So, and pretty much everyone asked for Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. So what we'll probably do is mid-afternoon Wednesday Pacific, which would be then late afternoon on Wednesdays in the Eastern time zone. So we kind of try and find a best between the both of them. So that'll happen and we'll send out an email and a notice on the forum so that everyone's aware of it. But in the meantime, let's talk about taking off and landing from moving platforms. So Finn and I were talking last night, and we get quite a few questions about how to safely launch and land from a boat, from a vehicle, how to operate a drone from a vehicle, and also how to just from moving platforms in general. So let's kind of work from a procedures and approach to getting ready for it. So we'll start obviously with defining the parameters of a scenario and what the mission would be, and then how we're going to deal with it. So the first scenario I'm going to talk about is, let's say you're working off of a 40-foot yacht, and it's a real estate, but for the boat. So you're getting the boat's for sale, and you've been hired to film the boat, and you've got the following hardware with you. You've got a Mini 3 Pro, you've got a custom-built FPV, and then you've got an Inspire 3. You fortunately got one, and you're off to the races with your brand new $40,000+ drone. But when your first paid gigs, it's going to be off of a boat. So it's a, I don't know, I will Google a random 40 foot yacht so that we all are on the same. Yeah, something like a command bridge style one here. These are pretty common. So that is a boat. And let me share my screen. That's the boat. So that's the boat that we're going to be filming. And you'll notice that you've got a bit of an aft deck on the transom there, and then you've got the nice bow section as well. And so what they want to do is get some orbiting shots of the boat, and then they want to get some nice sunset shots of the boat, show some activity off of it, obviously show the kind of luxury lifestyle that you can get from it, and then finally they want to get some action shots of the boat up at speed on plane. So the boat's top speed's about 25 knots, which is, let's say, 50 something miles an hour. So it can go fairly fast. Well, not 50, it'd be more like 45. So that's why you brought along the Inspire, because you need to use the bigger drone to keep up with it at full speed. So let's talk about, first off, what we need to do before we even get out onto the water. What are some first thoughts there? So Abdul, what are your thoughts?
Well, I never tried to shoot a moving object. I tried actually like shooting the Metro here in Calgary, but I didn't keep up for too long. But yeah, I never tried to shoot a boat or something. I don't have experience.
Perfect. Honestly, well, you're here to learn.
That's why I'm here. I'm scared from the sport mood.
Yeah.
A bit. Yeah.
To lose control. Finn. Let's quiz you next. What's your first thought that we're going to need to deal with here?
Okay, taking off from a moving boat, the first thought I have is, what is my lost link setting?
Exactly.
That would be my first thought.
Okay. So one of the big things, obviously, if you're on any moving platform, be it a boat, train, car, you name it, if you're moving and the drone is moving and suddenly you lose like the ability to control the drone, or so there's some signal interference, what is the drone going to do when it loses that signal? Now, by default, drones return to home. Most drones do return to home, right? They fail safe and they fly back to wherever they took off from. if you're out over open water and you're 20 miles offshore and you took off just as you're leaving the harbor, where's the drone going to go? It's going to head back towards the harbor. You're going to have to turn the boat around and it might be going faster than the boat can keep up with. So now you got a real problem. So with DJI drones, you have three choices. You have return to home, you have hover, and you have land. Now, if you're working over water, absolutely, you do not want it to land. And if you're working from a moving platform, you don't want it to return to home unless the drone is configured with the home point following the controller. It's less common these days for the controllers to have automatic home point updates. Whereas on the Mavic 2 series and Mavic 1 series, there were GPSs in the controller, so it had the ability to follow the controller. Now, I think maybe the RC and the RC Pro do, but it's not something that is dynamically set. It's more of a static thing. So it's a better plan to have your drone set to hover when it loses link. And I have a real world example of that where I was out working an island. And let me bring up the map of it so you get an idea of context. Where were we? So I was out working. We were filming a barge, and the barge was going to be coming around the point. Is it Anvil Island? Where is Port Mellon? So Gambier Hardware Harbor. Yeah, so we were right here. Let me bring this up. Okay, so we were here by Gambier Harbor, and we were filming a C-SPAN barge that was going to be coming around the point and heading up towards Port Mellon. So we launched from a boat kind of right here. This would have been roughly where my home point was. And then we followed the drone up and around, and the boat was probably here, and then we shut down the boat, but I was hovering the drone here, and the barge was going to come around this point. So I wanted the drone to be behind the island a bit and then like reveal the barge coming from behind the island. So what happened was the drone was right here and I had it very low and I lost radio line of sight, and I probably did lose visual line of sight at the same time. Like it was, I could see it, but then all of a sudden, boom, signal gone, and I'm focusing on my controller. And what had happened is the boat was drifting back into the inlet, and we must have gone around the point while I was looking at the screen enough that we just instantly lost signal. There was no like warning or anything. It was just boom. And I thought that the helmsman had turned on the radar or some sort of radio or something that had interfered. There wasn't the case. So we had to turn the boat around and come back. Meanwhile, my drone's here at 16 feet above water, which is not a great place to be with a drone, and also not a great place for like any kind of adventurous seagulls or angry eagles or something's going to take it out. And fortunately, because I'd set it to hover, it just sat there. It had a good GPS lock and it was fine. If I had to set it to return to home, what would likely have happened is it would have, of course, popped up to return to home altitude and start heading towards us. I would have been able to regain connectivity in that case because we weren't really moving. But if we were moving, there is a good chance that it could have gone in the opposite direction from the direction we were. And of course, if it were set to land, well, then that was the end of our Mavic 3. So first, as always, a minimum, consider what return to home action from the lost link that we're going to need to deal with. The next thing is going to be, how are we getting the drone in and out of the air? So if we're working from a boat, I was working from a small ferry vessel. It was probably like a 24-foot vessel, and it would be the same as that yacht that we're talking about. There are a couple things we want to consider. First off is going to be, you want the platform to be as stationary as possible while you're taking off and landing, because you've got an inertial measurement, the IMU, and the GPS and the sensors all working to keep the drone. Its job is to keep the drone in 3D space as stationary as possible. So relative to the Earth, the drone doesn't want to move. If you're taking off from a moving platform and the drone climbs in the air, it's going to instantly stop moving and the boat's going to continue. So if you have nets or fishing rods or any kind of like external outboards, or if you're taking off from the bow and the boat's moving forward, it's going to smash into the windshield of the boat. So you definitely want the boat to be as stationary as possible in any terms of movement until you can get the drone away from the boat, because again, drones are designed to stay as still as possible. They don't want to fly, they want to hover. So If you're working from a small boat, it's always a good idea to launch and recover from the stern of the boat. So that way you've got open space behind you. Hopefully there's not nets or sails or anything like that. But or if you need to work from the bow, same thing. You want the most open airspace as possible to bring the drone in and launch and recover it. So if it's an open boat, bow's fine. If it's like that yacht or something like that, and you can't get to the bow, then the stern, again, least amount of people, least amount of nets, least amount of gear in the background. The other thing to think about, again, is the sensors. So on the Mavic 3, it's an omnidirectional system, right? So we've got sensors on the back, sensors on the side, sensors on the bottom and the top. So if the drone is set to break, and let's say this is the drone coming in and this is the boat, and you've got it set to break at 5 meters, well, 16 feet back from the boat, if you're trying to come in at a horizontal level, it's going to stop and it's going to do nothing. It's just, no matter what you do, it will not come towards you because it thinks you're trying to fly it towards an obstacle. Now you're panicking because the battery is almost done. It's starting to beep and it's going to go into forced landing and bloop, there it goes down into the water right behind your boat. So how do we deal with that? We've got to turn off obstacle avoidance. There's two ways to do it. The fastest way to do it is to flip the switch on any Mavic controller into sport mode. By putting it into sport mode, it automatically blinds all the collision avoidance sensors to the point where they will stop it. It will not stop the drone from hitting an object. It will warn you the object's there, but it will not stop the drone from hitting the object. What it doesn't do is disable the ground positioning system. So if it's in sport mode, it still uses, this is the Mavic 3, so it's got the two vision cameras, and then this is a time of flight sensor. It's kind of like a little LiDAR infrared system. It's going to be using these to take a picture of the ground, 24, 30, 60 times a second, something like that, and analyze the difference in motion. So if this is looking at the ground, and now it's looking at water, and it can't get a good reflection, and it's also looking at it moving, the algorithms that are used to visually move the drone, the visual positioning system, will not work. They're useless. So that's the other thing to think about is when you get below 15 feet above the sea level or surface, the drone is going to start drifting and it might actually descend towards the water because GPS accuracy is out the window at this point, and your barometric accuracy is going to be out the window as well because it's such a small change. That it's very easy. And this is where most people are like, oh, I flew over water and the drone just landed in the water. It's because the drone has no idea that it's over water. It thinks it's in the middle of space and it doesn't have a good idea where it is because it's at such a low angle to the surface that the GPS quality is out the window. The barometer doesn't know what it's doing. So that it just assumes it's close to land and it tries to descend. So it's really important that when you're within 15 feet of the surface, that you're ready with the ascend descend control and you're on the controls and you're watching the drone, not the screen. You're never watching the screen when you're in close proximity to any kind of hazard. Disabling vision is another thing that you must do when you're landing or taking off from a close proximity or confined space, right? You watch videos of people launching drones out of hotel windows and the drone launches up or down or left or right. It's because they either didn't have vision enabled or they had it set to, fancy avoidance, where it basically starts moving or navigating around obstacles and it's going to be unpredictable. So, we've covered return to home, visual positioning, obstacle avoidance. And the next one is going to be, and this is the same for both if you're to launch and follow a truck or follow a boat. The other thing, or say you launch from a train, again, with permission, of course. If you are, again, out on the boat in this scenario and we want to launch the drone, the next thing is going to be, well, how do you get it into the air? If you put the drone on the deck of the boat and just start the props and do a takeoff, the drone, again, this is the boat pattern. And no matter what, unless you've got a really fancy boat with thrusters and GPS positioning or something, it's always going to be drifting in any direction, no matter what, how stable you think it is. There's current, there's everything else. So you put this drone on. And again, remember, the drone's job is to be perfectly in space and the boat is doing this. So if we put the drone on it and we say start the props, as soon as you throttle up to an auto takeoff, the drone's going to come up into a stationary hover. And again, drone's going to drift backwards. It's going to hit the helm or the wheelhouse. If you manually start the props and then throttle up manually, it will go into manual flight and take off. But you do need to be ready for it to also, again, stationary drift. You're controlling the altitude, but you're not controlling the position unless you're right on it. The best plan for launching a drone is to hand launch and hand catch it. So in order to hand launch pretty much any DJI product, you want to hold it out. So this is any DJI Mavic product. You hold it out with your fingers clear of the propellers, right? So you can always see where the propeller tip path is. So it's up high above the arm. So as long as your fingers stay in this area on a Mavic, and then the same on a Mini, we'll unfold the Mini as you can see. As long as you pinch in the center here like this, there's no chance that the propellers are going to hurt you. So as long as you have a good solid grip on the drone, what you would then do is start the propellers using the combined stick maneuver and then throttle up. And as the drone starts pulling away from you, then you release the drone. You can also use the auto takeoff at that point. And it's the same thing. If you use auto takeoff, you hold onto the drone firmly until it starts to pull away from you, and then you let go and the drone will pull away from you. Remember, it's going to be stationary. So this doesn't necessarily work. You can't necessarily launch the drone at speed. Now bringing it back. If you have an Inspire, and since we're talking about this in this scenario as well, taking off and landing with the Inspire, I would take off and land with the landing gear up. So on all the Inspires they have, the landing gear can go up or down. So if the landing gear is up, then you can grab the belly of the drone and support the gimbal. Same thing, because you don't want to have it farther away because these are 18-inch props and they're going to hurt. So maybe 13-inch props. They're big and they're painful. I'm looking at our Inspire 1 up on the ceiling. I don't really see much value in having the landing gear down because then you have nowhere to easily grab at the center of gravity on the drone. If you're only able to put two hands out or even only put one hand out to grab the drone, you want to grab it at its center of gravity. So the center of gravity on the Mavic is right here, right? It takes a little effort. If I were to grab it right here, it's really difficult. And obviously you see the arm's going to fold, so that's going to cause problems. So you don't want to be grabbing the drones somewhere other than the center of gravity. On the Mavic 3, on the Inspires, they have ADI mode, which means you can set an attitude and the drone will continue at that attitude or rate constantly. So you can actually fine tune your adjustment and fly it more like a constantly flying aircraft. There is some value in that potentially, and it's more, I haven't experimented too much with that. Hand recovery. So getting the thing back. We had a customer, unfortunately, had an incident with a Matrice and a boat, and they weren't able to get it back. So I think it ended up hitting the boat and going swimming. I'm not entirely sure of the whole story. But one of the things we talked about this quite a bit was if you're in a situation where you can't get the drone back, and this was probably because of obstacle avoidance or braking or something like that. But if the drone's refusing to land, or if you're unable to get the platform stable enough for it to land and shut down and stop the props, and you're not comfortable with hand catching the drone or hand landing the drone, if all else fails, you've got the combined stick maneuver. So by default on DJI, it's both sticks in and down, and you hold that, it will stop or disarm the propellers, and the drone will fall out of the sky. If you're hovering a foot or two over the solid, like over a pile of ropes or nets or something like that on your boat, it's going to be soft enough. It's probably not going to do any damage to the drone. So that's probably an acceptable way to get it back if you can't get it back any other way. But the best way, and this is something I've done quite a bit with boats, is if you are recovering, is to recover by hand. There's two methods for recovering by hand with most DJI drones. There's the way where you basically place your hand out, say the drone's hovering stationary, You place your hand out, it's going to recognize that your hand is there, and it's going to drift upward because now it thinks it's less than 10 centimeters above the ground or whatever its minimum altitude is. And then you would continue to hold down on the controller until the drone lands on your hand and it stops the props. And at that point, you can, of course, it's a little bit awkward, but if you want your hand to be as flat as possible and stationary so it recognizes there's ground there, because again, it's using those ground-facing sensors. The other way to do it, and it's more aggressive, there's lots of people that say it's bad. I haven't actually talked to DJI and seen if it's is bad or not, but you can trick the drone into thinking it's crashed without doing any damage to it. So if you come up to the drone and it's hovering and it's just not stationary enough that you can comfortably hand land it or find a stationary spot, the next thing you can do is you can sneak up from behind, snatch it, grab it, and flip it immediately. And by flipping it, the IMU tumbles and the drone thinks that it's crashed, so it immediately shuts off the propellers. So it will shut off the propellers and the drone goes into a standby state. You won't be able to start it up again because now it thinks it's crashed, so you'd have to power cycle it anyway. But I've done this probably a couple hundred times with the Mini and also with the Mavic 3. In a lot of situations where if it's too dusty to land safely, or I don't have a pad, or it's confined space, I've done it. There's been no issues with our drones. And the reason I think it's fine is if you're in sport mode and the drone is whipping back or forward, it's probably the same amount of G's and acceleration that you would get from just doing a quick 180, because you're rotating right on the center axis. The only thing you're doing is the IMU is going to fight you for a second. Like, you're going to hear it scream because it thinks it's rolling over on command. So these motors are going to spin really fast to tr or sorry, these motors will spin fast to try and counteract it. So you'll feel it fight you a little bit, but just you got to be firm with it. If you do this really slowly, it's going to be really angry and upside down, and now it's going to be just a spinning mess. So maybe if you haven't done it before and you're not sure, get someone to help you do it. Obviously, do all this on dry land, right? You want to be comfortable of doing something like this on the land in a non-high stress environment where you only have one shot at actually getting it back. Don't do your first hand catch, hand launch on the back of a boat with your brand new drone that you've never flown before. That's highly not recommended. What else? Other considerations for moving platforms. So we talked about return to home, we talked about lost link, talked about sensors, we talked about, oh, battery life. And maximum distance. So DJI has, when you set up your pre-flight on the controller, you set your maximum distance from your home point. So we've already talked about ignoring your home point. The problem is that the drone is not ignoring your home point. If you don't set your maximum distance to unlimited, you will constantly have to either reset your home point or the drone will hit a wall. And again, like say we're doing 40 miles an hour down the inlet or something, chasing a boat, all of a sudden, boom, your drone's going to stop because it hit maximum distance. Because it's measuring that maximum distance from where you took off from, not from where you are. And I've had that happen quite a bit. Like even just we were filming some fishing stuff, and we were traveling along at 6 miles an hour trolling, and I had probably had to reset my maximum dist or my home point 10 times before I thought about, you know what, I'll just remove the maximum distance entirely, because the drone was line of sight, maybe 400, 500 feet away from me. But we had traveled probably 10 kilometers in the 20 minutes that the battery had been going. What else? Moving platform batteries. You're going to want to give yourself more battery buffer, because if you get into a situation where you run down on your battery and you get to 25% and it goes into return to home or forced landing and you aren't able to stop the platform, maybe you're not in control of it. Or you don't realize it, of course, the drone's also going to return to home. And the other side of that is you want to have gas in the tank to get the drone back on the boat safely. So you should have a pretty healthy margin that is much higher than what you normally land with. So if you normally land with 25% for film missions, you might want to make sure that you're on the ground at 45% or something like that, because the last thing you want to be doing is staring at the bottom of your battery flashing and you still don't have the drone on the boat or wherever it is. What else, Finn?
Okay, so the other thing that we were going to talk about with moving platforms, Kara's question for you, Ian. Can you say that you and me, we go up in your R44 that you definitely have, and I take our Mavic and I chuck it out of the helicopter and start the motors? Have we committed a Kara's violation?
We've probably committed a couple. The main one is not allowing any object to fall out of an aircraft. That'd be the first one I think about. And then the second, well, like, if you didn't brief it with me and all of a sudden it's just like, surprise, drone, then we haven't had a briefing about a formation flight, which would be the other one for sure. You can do air-to-air work with drones to helicopters, drones to airplanes, but you have to have a safety briefing with everyone that's in charge. And of course, you need to ensure that there's no hazard to aviation. And then, like I mentioned, you can't let anything fall out of an aircraft. So you could launch it from an aircraft. I don't like that one's, if it hit the ground, then it's definitely a violation of the Kara's. If it doesn't hit the ground, I'm not sure. That's kind of like a chicken and egg question. So, but I have seen a video of someone tossing an FPV drone armed out of a MD-500 and then chasing the helicopter while the FPV pilot was in the helicopter. And I don't know who the visual observer was. Let's just put it that way. So that seems a little gray, if not very black and white in the wrong, but made for some cool footage. And usually the coolest footage out there was not captured legally. If we were to go up somewhere and land, and then launch the drone, no problem, none at all. So another one is, Finn, can you operate a drone from a car?
It depends. You can't operate the drone and the car at the same time.
Right.
If I was in the passenger seat and you were driving, I could operate that drone from the car. However, it would also be a good idea to have a third person be the visual observer, probably outside of the vehicle.
Yeah, unless you can guarantee visual line of sight of the drone the entire time, you need to have a visual observer, because the pilot in command can't necessarily be the VO, and the driver definitely can't be the VO, and the pilot in command definitely can't also be the driver. So if you're on a boat and it's an open top boat and you've got good visual line of sight to the drone, it's fine. If you're in a car in city traffic and there's buildings and everything else, well, you've got, first off, if you're in the passenger seat, you probably can't see the drone because there's a roof over top. And then also there's buildings and everything around. So there's that. And then not only all that, there's a good chance that you're probably violating over people regulations as well, because if you're flying down the city and you're flying sideways and at an oblique angle, you definitely don't know for sure if you're flying over people or not. So you need to have a safety assurance declaration on the drone to do that, which can be as simple as throwing a parachute on a Mavic, but it is something you have to consider and do to be safe. And then, of course, the other side is like, did you just arbitrarily decide to do this? And have you done a site survey about the airspace that you're flying in as well? There was a good video a year or two ago. It's gone now, but someone bought a Skydio 2, which is the autonomous following drone, and they whipped it up into the air, and then they had it follow their van across town in Surrey. It's Class G airspace, so they didn't break that law, at least. But they were the driver and the operator of the drone. No one was flying the drone. It was just doing it autonomously and following the car. And they drove into like a bank parking lot, and like these bystanders are like, what the heck is this thing doing following this car? And I don't think they were even a basic licensed pilot. So that video disappeared from the internet pretty fast. I think someone got a phone call. So, another one for chasing moving like vehicles, rocks and dust. If you're filming at a low angle using FPV, especially if you're using FPV, if you get into the dust or the rocks being kicked up by it, there's a chance it could occlude your FPV goggles and you're going to lose visual feed instantly. And then that's going to probably end up in a crash if you don't have some sort of fail safe hover Especially if you're using like a manual drone. And then the other side of it is you're going to damage your lenses, you're going to damage the camera in the drone. So that's not going to be good either. So the best shots are definitely going to be the close proximity, high risk shots, but you need to accept the fact that probably you don't want to be using your $30,000 Inspire. You should probably be using your $1,500 garage built bash drone or something like that for those shots with a GoPro that can be destroyed. So where can't you fly a drone? BC Ferries. Just because we've talked about boats and moving platforms and how to do it safely, don't go do it on BC Ferries. There's a couple, I'd have to go and find them and we'll put them in the community, but there was a couple videos of people launching drones from BC Ferries while they're underway. And then it was a Mavic Mini, like the first generation one. And the poor thing was trying to keep up because they were in the tail fan of the boat at the stern. And so they're in that disturbed air. That's the low wind velocity, like the eddy area of the back of the boat. So they had no wind and they were able to keep up with the ferry, no problem. And you got to think about ferries go at something like 20 knots. Like they're cooking. Big boats move fast. And the maximum speed of the Mini is probably somewhere around there as well. And as soon as it drifts out sideways, it instantly the boat goes like this, the drone goes like this, because now it's got this massive headwind that it's trying to keep up with. And you see the operator panicking on the deck of the boat, realizing this terrible decision that they've made. So I don't know if they got it. Well, obviously maybe they didn't get it back. Maybe that was just the whatchamacallit, cash feed. That's another one. Okay, final thing for operating from a boat. Make sure if your controller has an SD card, you put one in. If you're using your phone, you dedicate enough space for cache storage. Because the risk of losing your aircraft is so high. If you're in a situation where you've got an expensive set of footage that you need to keep, right? And like the confluence of the boat and everything else, you do not want to risk losing the footage. Your cache is going to be 720p, lower resolution, but anything is better than nothing when you're staring at your drone now 200 feet below underwater and scuba divers are not going to go get it for you. I know that there's been situations in Vancouver where they've had drones crash. I was talking to someone the other day. They had an Inspire crash, and the footage was so expensive, they ended up hiring a diver to go and recover the drone to get the card back because it was so valuable. Because like they had to hire, it was for a cruise ship, I think. So like we're talking like millions of dollars of economic activity involved to get this shot for marketing. So no matter what they paid the pilot, the footage itself was worth way more. So yeah, they had to go get a diver to recover the footage. Yeah, I think that's probably it. That's 40 minutes of talking about moving platforms and drones. So hopefully there's some tidbits of information in there, and I gotta figure out how we can like timestamp these. That's one of my gripes so far, is you can't like create an index for points. Abdul, do you have any other thoughts or questions?
No, but really thank you for like all what you talked about, you and Finn, because I was like taking my notes here, and I like the note that you said when you're landing on the boat, landing on a hand, and then you switch to sport mode. I never think of that, like
Yeah.
to disable that. That one is cool and really smart idea.
And it's
It's a simple action, but it's gonna save you. Yeah.
Yeah, because the other way to do it is you got to go into the menu, click on, like if you're using Fly, you got to go to the APAS logo, click on it, and then go into menu settings. So we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, like 8 or 9 seconds at minimum if you know where you're going. If you don't, and I always have to remind myself. So yeah, just one click of the switch, sport mode should be fine. On the Matrice, by default, they're disabled, right? It only flies in position mode, so that switch is disabled. So it's another thing to think about if you're offshore doing like whale survey or marine research or something like that, and you are running a Matrice, make sure you turn on multiple flight modes, because either you might need that sport speed or you might need to disable APAS really fast. So I'll be honest, most of the time I fly with APAS off. I have found in most situations, it's either not saved the drone from a crash, like it just wouldn't have been able to anyway, so you get false confidence, or it has caused the drone to drift in some direction unexpectedly and then drift into something it can't see. Like maybe I'm flying close to a building and a set of power lines, and then all of a sudden, boom, it drifts into the set of power lines because it can't see them at all. That hasn't happened, but it could happen, right? So that's something to think about. The crashes I've had were in GPS denied environments where the drone saw people and got afraid of the people and drifted into a different situation, and then it like caught the prop because it couldn't see. Because even though these things say like they're omnidirectional, there is still like a very tiny oblique kind of spot right somewhere around here where it just can't see. Because that's how you can sneak up on the drone and grab it out of the sky because it doesn't know you're there. So, yeah. All right, well, I think we'll call it there. Thanks so much for coming in today, Abdullah, and everyone else for watching
You're
after
welcome.
the
Thanks a
fact.
lot.
Yeah,
Thanks a lot.
and we will likely see everyone next week, Wednesday afternoon, sometime mid-afternoon Pacific. The exact time and date and the links will all be on the community. So thanks again, everyone. We'll see you then.